back for 30%. I'm coming back for everything.
You got into Harvard Law?
What, like it's hard?
Scarface on repeat. Scarface on repeat. Constant, y'all.
Catch a painted pony on the spinning wheel ride.
Now some people are saying that your new music sounds a lot like Bob Dylan.
Well, maybe Bob Dylan sounds a lot like me.
She doesn't even go here. They knew, and they let it happen.
Oh, and in case I don't see you.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
94.9 Radio Western, you are tuned in to Outside the Frame. Isn't this ridiculous?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, dude.
This is silly. This is silly. But you are tuned into Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. My name's Elijah.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Mike.
And we are Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. We talk about films, film culture, everything around it. We are currently streaming on Twitch right now.
Oh, is it going?
Yeah, it's going.
Look at, I'm picking your nose, dude. Yeah, look at
this is absolutely insane.
I can't do anything. My hand just disappears.
Look at I'm poking your eye out, dude.
We're having fun.
We are having a lot of fun.
We're having a lot of fun with this new device.
No, now it's just me, dude.
Yeah, now it's just you.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So that's how we're gonna do this until Tim gets back and shows us how to properly use this.
Because I saw him walking out of the building though, so
he's getting some za.
Yeah, he's getting some pizza,
of course.
So. Wow.
What are you doing at this point?
Venetian blinds, dude? Come on.
I'm having a lot of fun with this right now. There we go. Here's how this is going to work, okay?
Okay. Do you want me to move over?
I want you to move towards Ryan.
Okay.
Towards Ryan?
Yeah, towards Ryan.
Huddle over. Huddle over.
And then you do that. Perfect.
Yeah. And then you come over.
I'm going to move right there.
Look at that.
Perfect. We are so back. We are so back. We're ready to go.
That's good radio, just us trying to figure out
the Twitch.
How a Twitch. Yeah, we're just going. Yeah, we spent the first 2 minutes of our broadcast figuring out how to do a Twitch stream. So, yeah, but we are on Twitch now. So we're just trying this out.
What's the link? And can people check it out?
Yeah, you can go to twitch.tv/Radio Western.
That's amazing.
And you just see us. You can see me. You can see Mike. You can see
Ryan.
Can
they hear us too on
as soon as the mics go live, that's when they can hear us. So during the ad break, they will not be able to hear us.
Okay, so the radio portion is censored, right? So like, we can't. Well, what about gestures on the?
Oh, not censored at all.
So like, I could do this.
This camera.
There you go.
You can do that.
Yeah, I can do this to Ryan.
Yeah. and it's totally fine
because you don't know what I'm doing on the radio.
Yes. So if you ever wanted to see, you know, how we actually feel
how angry we get.
Oh, yeah. How angry we get. The words we want to say.
Yeah.
Because the words won't be censored on the stream either.
Right.
So they'll hear everything we say.
That's interesting.
Even though I'm going to hit the cut button for the radio
air,
you know, for the airtime.
Do you remember that one time I swore and then when you hit the cut button, I
swore again?
And then you had to hit the cut button again.
So,
for example, we could act this out real quick. So if Ryan drafts a movie that I want, I could be like, Ryan, that sucks. Ryan.
Yes,
exactly.
Ryan.
Exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
And you're just, that's awesome, dude.
And that's how it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
That's fantastic. Oh, and you got it up on your monitor, too. Wow.
I'm telling you, I got everything
high tech here at Radio Western.
Oh, yeah.
You can call or text. Actually, don't call, but text 519-661-3600.
It's actually so amazing. How you can host a radio show, host a Twitch stream, and play Fortnite all at the same time. I mean,
isn't that crazy? Like, look what we're doing.
You really are. You're extraordinary, and retext,
field calls. But like we said, don't call in.
Don't call in. Just text us. Or
just text us.
If you're on Twitch, you can actually
message.
If you're watching this, you can message. You can hit us up. And now I can be like a streamer now and be like, hey, chat, what do you think about this?
What's up, bros?
What's up? What's up? This is Outside the Frame.
Hey, guys.
Ice in my veins,
isn't
bro.
That what you W's in the chat.
What are we feeling, bros? What are we feeling?
Can we just start everything with, hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Right? Isn't that the thing?
This is Outside the Frame. I'm Elijah.
Yeah.
Make sure to smash that like button.
Yeah. Smash the like
button. Hulk smash that subscribe button, and let's get to it. What are we actually here about today? This is
probably something that the audience wants right now.
We said this was Outside the Frame, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And I did mention it was London's only talk show. Thank you, Mike, for taking the
movie talk show.
The movie talk show.
What did I say?
London's only talk show.
It's a movie.
It should be.
Show.
Yeah, but yeah. It is. Our,
so
the
you
only
missed
movie
my segue. About. I'll do it. I'll do it again. I'll Thank set you up again. Okay. So this is Outside the Frame, right?
Yes,
this is,
and it's London's only movie talk show.
Yes.
What I was just setting you up there. Mm-hmm. Saying that, because you asked what we're talking about. So I said probably something that the audience wants to use on us right now.
That is correct, because right. Yesterday we all took a little, what we call the Outside the Frame field trip. To yes. see a movie called Weapons.
See, that was
a great transition.
There you go.
And we got to
take two.
And we did see this. It was, and so we went to the Cineplex Odeon Westmount Cinema.
Yeah. Shout out to Andrew.
Yeah. GM there. Good friend of mine. Great guy. Was talking to us a bit before the movie.
I didn't know he was the GM.
Yes, sir.
Look at that.
Big man on campus there.
Uh-huh. Man.
Yeah, he's
man.
Running the show there. He's
and I was just casually like, hey, nice to meet you.
Yeah, I tried to introduce you before when you first got there, but you were like, I gotta get my tickets and do it.
Yeah, then I had to. It's a good thing I didn't say nothing because I was going to complain about those robot machines.
Oh,
over there.
That's immediately what I did was complain about when I went there 28 years later and it was terrible and the audio didn't work.
Yeah.
And the
he's aware. That's the thing. He's aware when things are not working properly.
Okay.
He's not one to shy away from that.
No, and he seemed really chill. Like he talked about like going to see other movies at other theaters, and that was kind of cool. So you know, obviously everyone, and you know, I work at the Highland, but obviously I'm going out to see movies other places too. So it's just all, you know, it's all good.
You sleep around.
It's my old sleep
around, dude.
It's my old stomping ground. I used to work there for like about four or five years. I worked there. So you know, the amount of movies I watched just. At that theater is insane.
Yeah,
So it was good to be back there to watch Weapons. This is for anybody listening who does not know about Weapons. This is Zach Cregger, writer director. It is his follow up to his breakout film Barbarian that came out in 2022.
Yeah,
that came out in 2022. It was a sleeper hit. No one really knew what to expect. It was a horror thriller. This one is a thriller. With some horror elements in it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's how it's being marketed anyway.
Yeah.
And it is about a group of children, specifically an entire classroom, minus one kid.
17.
17 kids specifically who at 2:17 in the morning vanish into the night. They all run away.
They do like a Naruto
disappear.
Run.
They too. Do. They almost do like just standing up, not like lean forward.
Yeah.
And
it's like a T-pose.
They all disappear and no one knows where they are. And we have to find them. That's the setup. That's the setup of the movie.
Yeah. Josh Brolin.
Josh Brolin, Julia Garner.
Garner.
Alden Ehrenreich, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, the cop. Yeah.
That's how you'd say that name.
Exactly. And this movie was just released this past Friday. To some pretty heavy promotion. It was number one at the box office this past weekend.
Yep.
I believe it made over 40 million. I think it was 42 million.
48.
I think it was a ton of money.
Was domestic.
Internationally,
this is also
crazy.
Warner Brothers'
sixth
straight film to open over $40 million.
Wow,
they
which win
is,
again.
I believe, the first time that has ever happened. Mm. So I'm just getting we were like kind of in the middle. 43 domestic.
Okay.
71.
Worldwide.
On a $35-ish million budget. So you know. You're laughing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh yeah. They're and that's for opening weekend. They're making profit.
And already, I believe Zach Cregger's attached to the new Resident Evil movie.
That is correct.
Well.
He was attached before this came out. So
because
they
saw
the Warner Brothers had seen the test footage of this, and it was doing so well amongst audiences that they just immediately greenlit him for Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do good with that property.
Yeah. Which already has its lead star attached to it, which is I'm forgetting his name, but he plays an addict in this movie.
He's going to be in this.
Yeah.
It's James.
Wow.
Is that his name?
James is the character name, right?
Is the character name.
I'm going to pull it up.
So he's going to be in Resident Evil.
He is the lead star of Resident Evil.
He's the lead star of Resident Evil.
That's bold. There was rumors that a lead role had been offered to Mikey Madsen as well.
Right, I did hear that.
I don't know where that is currently. But Austin Abrams, and you're right, James is his name in this movie.
Yeah.
Austin Abrams, also of Euphoria fame.
Right.
He's in Euphoria?
He was. He certainly was. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Also in Wolves.
I don't know any of this.
The Wolves.
The George Clooney.
That is correct.
Okay.
The Apple TV movie.
All right.
That not a lot of people saw.
But let's get into
this movie.
Do we need like we have like seven Resident Evils. Do we need? Do we need?
We don't need one, but I wouldn't mind seeing one.
I mean, this is the idea is that terrible, terrible. He this weapons is an original story.
Which, yes. You know what?
And then immediately, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, like, let's get him in on IP immediately.
Well, that's always I think goes, the right? idea is that they're going to do a Resident Evil series that's closer to a closer
yeah,
adaptation.
And it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It doesn't
matter. Well, yeah.
To me, it doesn't matter. Like, I would much rather see a Weapons, which we'll get into our thoughts on, than that kind of writer-director, who obviously has, like, something to him, you yeah. know, like it's pretty funny. I think we'll get into that more,
yeah.
but
yeah.
He kind of has this interesting kind of quirky thing about it, but still like about his style of filmmaking. Same with right. Barbarian too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, still playing with like, you know, tropes that people are comfortable with, like in terms of, oh, it's a, you know, mystery. You're trying to find out, you know, it's not a structure that people are.
That's right.
You know, it's not a crazy kind of structure. He's playing inside of those of that sandbox, right? So, yeah, it's to me, it's just it's, you know, I'll always be screaming it from the like more original movies. Even though I'm gonna be harsh on some of the stuff of Weapons.
Of course.
That being said, it's always gonna trump, in my opinion, gonna trump like IP stuff,
right?
Especially. Like from a genre, I mean, he's only made two movies, right? That have been
yep.
more genre, especially from a young genre filmmaker, then it's just immediately thrown into IP. So, yeah.
This movie.
Not stoked on that.
Has had a lot of promotion, a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
heat coming off of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A bidding war for the script for this movie
yep.
amongst Netflix, New Line, and Universal. Allegedly, Jordan Peele fired his management.
Because
they dropped the ball on this, on getting this one. So with that being said, with all this heat, with all this promotion, with all of this good promotion as well, a lot of good word of mouth going on around
and
this movie.
And they had some cool like social media stuff.
They sure did. They were going old.
Webpage.
Like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Old school with the webpage
yep.
and stuff like that.
Yep.
How did we feel? I'll start here and then I'll move to you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, we all actually had differing views on this movie.
Right.
So we'll start with you, Ryan, because I'll cascade. Mm-hmm. Ryan, how did you feel?
Yeah, so I'll set this up. I'm probably the least horror.
yeah, for sure.
In terms of like, what would you say? Least horror.
Like it's not what you
diverse.
Seek out.
Yeah,
yeah,
yes.
yeah. It's not. Really
I don't watch a lot of horror
out.
Movies.
Yeah.
But I came into this. I didn't really have any expectations going into this because, again, I wasn't really. Looking for this film. This film had come up in the little bit. I knew it was gaining momentum, so I was excited to see it, but I didn't really have any expectations. I quite liked it. I
okay.
thought it was a really entertaining watch throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
I really like some of the standout performances of Julia Gardner and Josh Brolin in the film. I think
I like Gardner.
They're fine. And I honestly, I do like the concept of it as well. And I think for what it is, like it's more thriller than it really is a horror movie. But it's also quite funny at times, which mm-hmm. I really appreciated. Like it's a really good kind of thriller for, this is going to sound like a backhanded compliment.
I know what you're going to say.
But it's
yeah.
a good thriller for a wide audience.
100%.
Yeah.
And so it's very digestible. I
yes.
will mm-hmm. say in terms of certain aspects of the script, I thought if they did it in a different way, I would have preferred it. I think where the movie shines is in the intrigue and in the investigation. And then by the time you kind of get past the halfway point, it kind of drops the ball on that, and the whole investigation aspect of the film is kind of missing entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, for
you,
sure.
You did touch on the fact that this movie is a lot more humorous than
it's really funny.
Yeah. Here's the thing:
I think we can all agree on that. That like we
actually
like,
was quite.
There's
funny.
A. I was yeah. sitting. Elijah and I were sitting beside each other. There's a couple moments that we were like, "Oh, that's
it's
good.
Actually funny.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's funny."
For the
yeah.
most part, they're just like little quips that are thrown in
yes.
there.
Yeah.
There are some bigger lines that are meant to be. All of them are meant to be funny, but there are, you know. The little ones that you're not expecting, they just kind of get in there, are quite humorous. And this shouldn't be too surprising. I mean, Zach Gregor is, he's at least I knew him before Barbarian as part of the sketch comedy group sketch White comedy, as Kids
yeah.
You Know.
Yeah.
Right. Which is
it was
right.
huge
yeah, show, yeah, yeah. Hysterical. Huge, like huge I thought these guys were really funny. And you still see a lot of their clips pop up on
the
Rails
Iran
and everything.
Clip was really big.
The which one?
The Iran clip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Especially a couple months ago.
So his humor kind of gets a little, and the same thing like you mentioned earlier, same thing with Barbarian, like that humor is added to it. I think a little bit more blended in this movie, whereas the tonal shifts of Barbarian, I can see why some people mentioned that they were kind of thrown for a loop in that one. But
Are we doing spoil free for the first half and then
sounds
going
good.
To spoilers?
Yeah,
or,
sure.
Or are we just going to get right into it?
I think get right into it.
Oh, I think I was going to say, well, I think we should avoid spoilers as best as we can. Oh,
okay,
because
okay.
we're on air, right? Or, yeah, so yeah, like people, okay. you know,
it's
I don't wanna,
opening weekend. We don't
right?
want to ruin it.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So if you're listening, we're going to keep this spoiler free.
Yes.
And maybe we'll have to use the cut button if one of us messes
yeah.
up.
Yeah. Just make sure if you do say a spoiler, you give me. It can't be more than 7 seconds, and then I'll hit it. That's the delay, so let's go.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny. First thing Ryan said after we were chatting afterwards was, I was expecting more vomit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, yeah, dude. There is some good, there, especially the one sequence is quite... that's
oh, the
kind
one
of,
towards the end.
Where things really kind of kick off. I would say mid-ish to later second act.
Right.
And that's kind of the first real, like, violence in the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good sequence.
Yeah.
But, yeah, could have used more vomit for
well,
sure.
Well, I imagined, you know, I saw the clip in the trailer.
Of course.
It's like, oh, this is going to be gross. It's going to be a lot of vomit.
Yeah.
It's not that much vomit, guys.
I love a good vomit
scene. If you have an uneasy stomach, you're going to be fine in this movie. It's not that gross.
Yeah. Well, it is a good, what's the word, like, sort of... gateway movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's where I thought you were going to go, and you kind of said it in a roundabout way. But
yeah.
This is a movie where if, you know, as a younger person or a person that is just kind of dabbling in horror, this is a movie that you could show them where there's some pretty, like, violent events in the movie, but for the most part, it's, you know, pretty tame.
Yeah.
So... But it has like all the vibes, you know, of that you want inside of like a horror-ish type film. So, I mean, for me, I mean, I had to think of there's this great South Park episode with
of course
where
Stan, I love this.
Where Stan starts to see everything as poop
because he turns 10, isn't it?
Yes, because he turns 10, and the closer I get, and I'm very close now. To turning 40, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think in the episode the fix is Jameson. So
that's right.
So in order for him to like things and be like accepted with his friend group,
right.
And to not be so nihilistic and critical and all of that all the time,
and to get out of the matrix,
the key is
Jameson whiskey.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Hey,
just turned to alcohol.
Same here. Yeah. Same here.
So that's it's funny because I had to think of that. That being said, I do think I am positive. But I'm just critical, I guess. And
of course.
Yeah. And a lot of times I also think a great t-shirt would be something like just because I'm critical doesn't mean that I'm negative. So if I'm critical about something or if I these are elements I don't like, it doesn't necessarily mean
Mike, if you disagree with us,
well, dude,
that's a personal attack
on
us.
No, it's not about disagreeing. It's about like, well, what did you think? Well, you know, it's something that Dalton, I don't know if Dalton said he was going to try and listen today because he went and saw it on the weekend too, who's been on the show for those listening. But it's something he was saying too, where it was, you know, not every movie is a 5-star movie.
Of course not.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the part of, you know, the reactions to stuff and the reviews and all that, where it's like, it has to either it's like a 5-star. It's this movie is not a 5-star movie.
No,
I would say it's not even a 4-star movie at all. That doesn't mean it's like bad,
no,
or
for sure.
or not worth your time to go and see.
Yeah,
it just means like, again, for me personally, this is not a movie I would like revisit or rewatch. I don't think it has really any rewatchability at all. So I wouldn't choose to rewatch it. But again, like I didn't have a bad time watching the film, and it wasn't a badly made film. And
correct.
I wasn't like, oh, this sucks, and this wasn't like this, and this. No, not every movie is, you know, going to go to the nth level of, and personally, I don't need every horror movie to do that in order for me to like the movie. However, it's okay. Like, I rated this 2.5 stars, which is, you could say, like a 5 out of 10. It's fine. You know, I believe Dalton gave it a 3.5. Putting it at a 7, I think you gave it a 3 or a 3.
I gave it a 3.5.
3.5, yeah.
I gave it a 2.5.
Yeah. So we're all, like, between the three of us and Dalton, we're all kind of between a 5 and a 7.
Yeah.
And that's really where this movie is.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would say, like, if you liked it, like, a little bit more, like you and Dalton, or if you were a little bit more like, oh, like, it wasn't totally for me, but I had a good time, it's a 2.5, 3, 3.5 max movie. Mm-hmm. So between a 5 and a 10. And that, my point is that is totally fine for a movie to exist there.
And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but just to jump on this, and this might be the point that I think that you're making as well. Go see this movie.
Go see it.
Yeah, if you are intrigued by this movie, go see it.
Because it's original.
It's worth the time.
Yes. It's an original movie,
and it is worth your time.
Yeah.
It is not a complete waste of time.
No.
There was a comparison that Mike had made right after this movie ended for a movie that he thinks is a complete waste of time.
Yes, it is.
But this movie certainly is not.
I brought that movie up because it was being mentioned in and around this movie.
Right.
Because of certain elements.
Certain twists or reveals.
Right. And I would say makeup, costume, that kind of
stuff.
Right.
Correct.
However, Long Legs, I wouldn't tell anyone to watch.
Long Legs is the movie.
I think Long Legs is not worth anybody's time. I think it's atrocious.
So disagree on that one, but we've had this before. Yeah.
But like, to me, and I know this is like goes against some of the like under 25 things, but like, just because a movie has good vibes or you like the vibe of a movie doesn't make a movie good. Now, I'm not saying don't watch the movie. That's not what I'm saying. But it doesn't make the movie objectively good.
Right.
Like, Long Legs is objectively a terrible film. There's many things wrong with that movie from every element of it. Every single element of the filmmaking process, it does not hit on. However, and so bringing it back to Weapons, because this is not a Long Legs debate, and it's not a debate, it's bad. But
agree to disagree.
With Weapons, it's not like I think that's a terrible comparison, because it's not anything like Long Legs in terms of the way that it's put together. I would say the heart of the movie is totally totally different and way more relatable. Like, it's,
well, this movie actually has heart.
Like, it has heart.
Yeah, it has heart. Yeah. It has some humor to it. Like,
and it has someone who at least somewhat understands story and how to like tell a 1-act, 2-act, 3-act structure of a story,
however many acts, because this movie's broken into
obviously
it has the same structure of all the acts, but this is broken into many several parts.
Well, it's broken up into characters,
parts,
but the story itself still follows the 3-act structure.
Correct.
So, but you know, again, Long Legs does not follow anything. It's not anything. That's the problem with it. It is literally not anything. But not in a cool way like Gummo is. Okay.
Agree to disagree, my man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to agree to disagree because there's
no, because you can
agree,
disagree. But I'm going to
agree.
I'm going to disagree.
But what I'm saying is that this movie is different in the sense of that some, you know, there it's going to be there's it. There's going to be people out there that probably like it a lot more. I think just because as a whole kind of hurting for this kind of movie. So it kind of stands out a little bit more because it is original and there's like interesting moments and characters and stuff.
For sure.
It is going to stand out a little bit more, especially in the summer, like, you know, release schedule. So it's going to push people to kind of think, oh, this is like the greatest thing ever. And that's great if you do. But I think to me, it's a great gateway movie.
Right.
And if it gets you into the door of, you know, I would say like Get Out is another perfect example of this. If it gets you in the door of genre, then that's awesome. Just know that that's like you're just scratching the very tippity top of the surface of what else is out there. And those movies are great because they have wide appeal and a lot of people see them. And hopefully, and with Weapons, I'm not saying Weapons will do as well as Get Out, but I'm saying but that a lot of people are seeing it.
It does have the appeal, and that's something that you mentioned earlier, is that it's got enough of a lot of different things for it to appeal to a mass audience.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that I think is strongest about this movie.
Yeah.
It's got tons of humor. It's got a little bit of everything, but that's also my downfall with this movie, is that it's not enough of one particular thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just to reiterate your point, Mike, I mean, while I am mixed on this movie, I do find this movie to be at least entertaining, and I do find it to be
I didn't have a bad time at all.
Not at all. Yeah. And there are some genuinely great scenes in this movie.
Absolutely.
Yes.
The last 15 minutes of this movie, it was great. Yeah, I was locked in.
Very fun.
I was so
Some people might find it dumb or whatever, and it is dumb. But,
sure.
But I liked it.
Oh, like, I had a ton of fun with the last...
Last 15 minutes it's dumb, but it's fun to watch. Yeah.
It's very interesting because there's a lot of movies these days where I'm thoroughly, like, just... I'm locked in throughout the whole movie, and then the end is like it just completely lost me.
Yeah. It's almost the reverse.
Almost the reverse, yeah.
The first 20 minutes, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I was getting a little worried.
I was like, I kind of felt like I was watching like Days of Our Lives or something. Like it felt very TV. Like I felt like I was just watching a TV episode.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, what are we doing?
Just grinding your teeth during the bar scene.
Dude, so like, I was
waiting
because that bar scene.
I was kind of waiting for like something to happen. And I get that there's character building, but we're about 20, 30 minutes in now. And you know, we haven't moved on to the next setup.
Yeah.
So it was a little interesting.
But once it got going, like
it was
Oddly enough with the bar scene, and I was speaking to you about this earlier today, Alden Ehrenreich, like there's some parts of its character where I'm like, was he really necessary for the film?
No.
But
no, it wasn't.
When he's in the bar scene, though, and when he's throughout the film, I'm like, yeah, that's that guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but that, like, but that
he,
speaks
I,
to...
I was like, that's not Alden Ehrenreich. Like, I fully believed his performance. I was like, I've met a guy like this.
That speaks to him as a good actor.
Yeah.
And I do think he is a good actor. However, thank you for bringing up another point of mine, is that they could have shaved off... I feel like they could have shaved off a bit of this movie, dealing with certain characters that don't really add a whole lot to the plot.
Right.
I think with that particular scene, I have no basis for this, okay? I'm just saying that right out the gate. There's no basis for this. I haven't heard this in an interview, but this is my feeling, and watching that scene. This is what I thought. This is, in my mind, 100% Zach sitting there and saying, "I love this guy." He's put and I can almost guarantee you. I can hear the fight. I can almost guarantee you that there was a fight between him and either the editor or a producer, that he had to fight to keep that scene the way it is in the movie.
Mm.
Because it is if I was producing that film, I wouldn't have given him a choice. Maybe there was some contractual stuff, but I'd have been like, no, it's like, don't. Like that, you could tell he was so into all the air stuff and like his mustache, the whole thing. And you could tell, like, even though there's nothing, it's not a greatly written scene. There's nothing, it doesn't really push anything ahead that much. And it just kind of goes on too long. That screams a director that is like, I love everything about this. And then him doing the mental gymnastics to then justify to a producer and an editor or an editor to keep it in the movie the way it was. I can almost see this scene being another 5-6 minutes and the runtime actually being like 2:15, because it was and the compromise was to get it down to the 5 minutes that it is. And that was the compromise. I've just been through this process a few times on a few different roles, whether it's been a director or been a producer on it, where you just love a certain scene or a certain actor or a certain thing that's happening, and you can't get past it. It has to be there. And you do everything in your power, in your brain, to justify it, because you can't see objectively. You can only see it through this one, like, vision, right? And it really sucks. I had someone do it to me where, like, I spent all this time on this project, and it was like, it was to the point where I was moving on to the next step of the post-production process, and someone sat me down and just said, the first 25 minutes of your movie is terrible. Like, it's really bad. And here's what you can do. Here's a couple of ideas. I was already done. Like, I'm moving on. And I spent another month, maybe even a month and a half, redoing everything that I just worked towards, because, I mean, but this is also coming, 15 years after I made movies and stuff before. It was my first rodeo. But I'm telling you, no matter when it happens, it sucks so hard.
What I'm hearing is...
So anyways, right, that's before, my take on the bar scene. Okay. That's all right, I was thinking in there.
Right before we cut to commercial break, what I'm hearing now is that Mike is a huge... Mike really likes when directors do not get final say on the cut of their films.
It
so
is.
So we will go into the commercial breaks with that knowledge.
Oh, thank you.
Stick around for the... we're just going to hit a couple ads. Stick around for more of a discussion on the movie Weapons. We will be right back.
That was an aggressive ad, dude.
That was a very aggressive ad. That ad's very loud. And that's not even the loudest ad we have, which is kind of crazy.
Can we give a shout out to our one Twitch viewer? We know it's Dalton, because Dalton...
Where's the... Boom.
Boom.
Yo, Dalton!
Yeah, Dalton.
Shout out Dalton one time.
Yeah, dude.
Watching on Twitch.
Twitch, what's the link if
Twitch.tv/Radio Western. You can see us live.
Don't go on it if you're driving, though. Just listen to us on the radio.
Yeah. 94.9 FM. Or you can stream us on RadioWestern.ca.
Don't Twitch and drive.
Yeah.
Don't Twitch and drive.
You can also text in 519-661-3600.
Yeah, if you want to talk to us about anything we're talking about, which currently is the movie Weapons. We just saw this last night, actually. We just saw this last night. It is the brand new Zach Cregger movie that just came out this past weekend. And this movie, where to go from here? We mentioned just before the break.
Can I bring up something?
Sure.
Just as a programming note, I thought it would be interesting because I think... I mean, there's still a couple things.
Is this about weapons?
It is.
Okay. Then yes, of course.
It is about weapons. I think we still, there's a little bit to mine here in terms of weapons, but I thought, and I probably should have brought this up in the break, but I was busy hearting Dalton's message that he's watching us on Twitch. I thought it would be kind of interesting to spend the last like 10 minutes talking about or just... I don't know, going through some of the stuff that was released today at TIFF, because they released a schedule today.
Which is
kind of interesting. So I'm just putting it out there to listeners to us that if we get into it and it's 7, great. However, I'm just saying that that's a kind of a big deal around these parts that the TIFF schedule came out. So
that is very true.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited for this.
Yeah.
And I want to do this.
Yeah.
I just find it funny that I said, is this about weapons? And you're like, yes.
It is. It was about weapons.
How is TIFF about weapons?
It's not. Well, that part, I said it's a programming note. So it's about weapons being part of the discussion.
Okay.
And then if we were to take it to 7, that's great. Okay. But there's also this other thing I wanted to bring up because it's very important.
This is the real discussion the listeners
want
to hear.
Essentially,
this is great radio, discussing our programming on air.
Yeah. Essentially, it's just a group message chat at this point. So
yeah, it really is.
You've now heard us set up a Twitch stream and discuss programming notes on the air.
We just get more things to announce during the show. So this is that's just how this works.
I mean,
works,
you could also say in 26 minutes, you could go see Total Recall on 35mm at the Highland Cinema. So you could do that.
He's got to put the plug in.
Yeah.
Put the plug in.
There you go.
Got to. Yeah. Anyway, weapons.
Weapons. This movie is it's broken up into several parts. We were just mentioning that beforehand.
Right.
Something we mentioned just before the break when you were talking about the bar scene with Alden Ehrenreich is his mustache and how
it's
he
a great mustache.
Great mustache. Now, this movie, when it was pitched, Zach Cregger pitched this movie to, I guess, the people that were wanting to buy the script. He pitched it as, what was it? Magnolia meets Hereditary. And you can certainly see in this character of what's his name? Paul.
Yes.
And you see the police officer as Paul. almost a complete copy or mirror image of
John C. Reilly
from Magnolia. Yeah.
Well, I would say also the character sort of different switches and stuff.
Of course,
like that.
That too. Yeah, yeah.
The other big thing that both of these movies have in common, which is 100% true, is they're both too long, dude. Mm. They're both way too long.
Heavy disagree on that one. Magnolia is fantastic.
I love Magnolia. But I'm just saying, it's not a 3-hour movie. Though.
For listeners, we walked into the theater, and the, one of the first things that when he was looking at his ticket, Mike says, he's like, 2 hours and 8 minutes, dude?
Yeah.
Too long.
It's too long.
It's too long.
It's too long, man.
Too long. And I remember going into this thinking,
and then
you
the first 30 minutes happened, and what did you all say? This is too long, dude.
Well, that's the thing is, that's what I was saying. Like I was like, no, you know what, like. I could see it justifying 2 hours. Like, it's better 2 hours than 2.5 hours, which almost every movie feels like it is these days.
I would have even taken 2 hours on the dot, but
yeah,
it's 2 hours 8.
I was like, yeah, that's it was too long.
It was too long.
I'm giving you, I have to give you your
props. And the thing with the opening 32 is, like, it feels like they're throwing in just, like, random, like, creepy things here and there.
Yeah.
Where when you look back on the film, they actually don't make any sense at all in terms of the story, why they're happening or why they're
absolutely
there.
There's a lot of stuff in the first half of this movie that don't really end up manifesting.
And you just you think about it and you go, well, that doesn't in the world and the actual story, it's like this doesn't make any sense. They never explain why it's happening at the beginning. Well, and it's only because the first 30 minutes is so long that they have to sprinkle something in to keep your attention going.
Yeah, in horror movies like this, and I say like this because I don't want to give away a game
90 minutes. Okay, sorry.
You cannot, like, I just throw all logic and plot points out the window. Or not plot points, just all logic out the window because it's just,
oh yeah, there's no logic. There's no
I
logic.
I could do that
100%.
Inside of 90 minutes though.
Right.
Yes, true.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about so one thing I wanted to bring up was that this movie, due to the strikes, had to be recast. The original cast of this movie saw Pedro Pascal in the role that is now played by Josh Brolin. It had, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce her name because I know I'm going to get it wrong, and I should probably, she'll probably be an Oscar contender this year, so I'll have to learn it. But the actress from The Worst Person in the World and Upcoming Sentimental Value, she was supposed to be in the Julia Garner role, Justine.
That's a TIFF movie. See, there you go. We brought it all around.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
It was, I think it was Tom Burke in the Officer Paul role.
Okay.
And then Brian Tyree Henry was supposed to be the principal that is now played by Benedict Wong.
Who's awesome, by the way, in this movie.
He has one of my favorite scenes in this movie. Yeah. And he doesn't say a single word.
No, he's
He just runs.
Also, and it's very, very unnecessary character, which leads me to this. And I'll try to be careful. Oh, yeah, you had a point. Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask what, and this might actually be a leeway into this, but how did you feel about the performances in this movie?
I thought everyone did a good job. Did I think everyone's character was necessary for the movie?
No.
Not at all.
No. But do I think that all the actors who were in this movie did the best job they could with what they were given? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin. We were talking about Josh Brolin. He's a construction guy.
Yeah.
He looks like a contractor.
It's also not, I wouldn't call any of these, maybe aside from Garner, what's her name?
Julia Garner?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Julia Gardner.
Aside from her, there really isn't any performances in this movie. I liked everybody in it.
Really?
But
even Austin Abrams?
I mean, they're all fine. They're all fine.
Yeah,
but
at least he's tried something.
It's as fine as the cast of Friday the 13th Part 5. They're all great. I love them.
right?
But I wouldn't call them performances.
Why would you say that she's the only one that's a performance?
Because she, like there's a little bit more of like an arc and stuff going on with her. Like, and she's probably, well, not probably, she is in the movie the most.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
She has to carry the film in a lot of ways. So there is a performance element there. Mm. Josh is being Josh. And that's awesome. I'm not saying he has a couple of the best moments in the movie.
Yeah.
So and that's great. But I wouldn't Mikey Madison's performance.
Groundbreaking
Josh Brolin. Is Josh Brolin.
That's how you register the word performance.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Is that it is more there's just more depth to it. And I'm not saying every movie absolutely doesn't need that. In fact, I get very annoyed when, like, it's happening right now, when people are like, Josh Brolin's performance was fantastic in Weapons. No, it wasn't. He was being Josh Brolin, and it was very funny, and it was great.
It's definitely an ensemble movie.
Yeah, it's
and
awesome.
Each one fulfills their role to the necessary part that they need
100%.
To do, and they do a great job doing that performance, right?
Yes.
Amy Madigan. I had no idea. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie with Amy Madigan before, but plays a character that I don't really want to get into on air.
Yeah.
Married to Ed Helms.
Married to Ed Helms. Look at that. And comes completely out of nowhere. Did not know that she was going to be in this movie. Effective in what she does.
I think she's effective. I will say, again, in terms of the script, I thought it was a little bit of a letdown how her character is introduced and through which character's perspective that we finally meet 100%. Her character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just thought, I would have preferred to see something else, but it's okay. Oh, how about this? I'm going to pose a hypothetical for you.
Yeah.
You get rid of all of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And all of them.
Hold on.
This is perfect. Yeah, I know.
Do you mean the structure breakdown of the characters?
Hold on. Let me finish.
Hey.
Do you mean you're going to make them all like animals or
something? No.
Oh, okay. So what if it's... No.
Get rid of all the characters, and all that you have left to drive the movie forward is Josh and Julia.
Yes.
Do you prefer that movie over what we have? Or do you think it
this
works
is
out
perfect.
Better?
This is perfect because this was Elijah brought up the question. This is what I was going to say.
Right.
And this is like I'm going to try not to spoil anything here, okay? But I think everyone knows if you've watched the trailer or know anything about this movie that Josh and Gardner's character are both well, the Gardner character is the teacher,
yes.
And the Brolin and Josh Brolin is
a parent.
Yeah. Okay, this movie is better, in my opinion, if they are detectives or investigators.
What if they were doing the detective work as their respective roles?
No, they have to be
detectives
because unless there was a little bit more focus in what the investigators and detectives aren't doing or doing. They're basically not in the movie. And so essentially the big event happens and nothing is done. Like, I mean, nothing is done about it.
They do mention that they're doing, what is it? Well, I can't remember the exact line, but we've got our best detective doing thorough investigations.
Thorough investigation. But there is
no. I don't
think you are.
It obviously is a point that maybe Zach's trying to make about something else or whatever, but it actually makes the movie worse, in my opinion, because they're like the work that they're, even the little bit of investigating that the characters do, are things that very obviously anyone who's seen any cop show ever, like, or detective show or whatever, is doing.
Missing 24 Hours? Or,
right.
Yeah.
First 48.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So all I'm saying is for me, that, and this leads to the other point, which I know you guys have heard because I said it to you after the movie, but it leads me to believe. And there's a lot of evidence to support this in the last 5 years, but in the last 10 for sure, that a lot of the, we'll say easily, the or more consumable horror movies are all 100% based in trauma. And
these past, like, what, 10 years, give or take?
100% over it, dude.
Yeah, it's getting a little tired.
There's been a couple of interesting, we'll say, like, things in that sort of whatever you want to call it, subgenre of a subgenre. I am not interested, to be honest with you, at all. I think it's very boring, and I'm just not. It's not what I'm there for from a genre standpoint.
Mm.
When every single movie. It is people going like dealing with trauma. And I'm not saying that is bad outside of the genre. That's not what I'm saying. But inside the genre, when
using like horror elements to as an underlying message or to
over
you know,
it, dude.
Yeah,
over
the trauma subtext that is in
and
horror movies.
That is why those two people are in the movie and that they're not investigators because it's her trauma and his trauma. right? And it's all trauma, trauma.
This is an interesting.
And I'm just over it, dude.
This is an interesting segue into, because someone who has done this, you could argue a few times, would be the person who tried to acquire this film, Jordan Peele, has done it a couple times, and so we actually got a text in on the text line. What do you think Jordan Peele saw in this movie? So to
money.
Answer, so yeah,
a better
money.
Script than yeah. he's ever written,
so,
probably.
So wrong on so many different levels. So outrageously wrong on so many levels.
It's
but
not, I'm not.
You,
but.
It's so wrong. So wrong.
Oh yeah, Us was a real banger of a script.
Hey,
for
I'm
sure.
not. Hey, I'm not. I'm not disagreeing on that one. I'm not disagreeing on that one.
I would say premise, like yes. Get Out. I would say Get Out is a much like more
better,
interesting
better movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
but,
it's a better movie,
but
for
it
sure.
has a more has
for
a,
sure
has a way more interesting premise.
Yes.
And so I think the focus on Peele's thing, he is only interested in interesting premises. That
is true.
That is what
take him
all,
for example.
Right.
The upcoming movie about what is it? The sports or the football player?
Him.
Him.
That's what I said. Yes. Yeah, so, yeah. Him.
Now that movie could be awesome because he didn't direct it, but what I'm saying is that regardless, his focus, his hyper focus is on a good premise.
Right.
This movie has a great premise. He probably did not read the script. He probably read the breakdown or one sheet before the script and saw that and was like, great premise.
Right. Get me in.
Get me in.
And
right?
He did. I know that I've seen in interviews with Zach Cregger that he called up and had numerous conversations with Jordan Peele, who helped him a lot with the, I think it's the editing process that they walked through on Barbarian together. So helped him a lot with, or maybe it was the writing process of it. But he did help with the making of Barbarian.
Right.
I believe he's thanked in the liner notes as well, or at the end credits anyways. And
well, my girlfriend brought up an interesting point too, especially about premise, is that she was also there with us to go watch the movie because she really wanted to see it, and she said, you know, the story itself is Stephen King adjacent in some kind of ways,
for sure,
absolutely,
yeah. And so it's like, well, yeah, I mean, you see that and you see the premise and it's Stephen King adjacent, yeah, money.
Yeah.
Money,
yeah.
Money eye, yeah. Money, I mean, in the
yeah.
eyes,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
cause
for
it's,
sure.
I mean, and look how much it's
money
in.
Me. Money now.
Money, please. No. Yeah.
That
is a great point. Yep. Premise is like, when you look at every single one of Jordan Peele's movies that he's directed
or
produced, it's a great like one sentence line that's yep. like, oh, here's a sentence for what this movie's about.
Yeah.
I said it once, if I said it 100 times. Like Get Out is one of the best premises ever in the history of film. Like, it is such a great premise.
What, for which movie? Sorry, Tim was eating pizza in the
thing. Get Out.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable premise,
and leads to just one of the best movies of the 2010s.
I don't want to get in the.
It's
middle
just
of this.
Not.
It
dude.
Just. It, listen, listen. Just, we are not here not. To debate Long Legs. We're not here to debate Get Out.
Terrible takes.
Yes, you do. You have them, man. And that's why we're here.
Well, see, the difference is I can back them up and you just say them. So that's the difference.
Well, we've never had the chance to actually get into this on air.
Maybe that's an
episode.
So this right
what
here.
What am I supposed to do? Referee?
What is this? This is what?
A microphone.
Yeah, and this is?
A microphone.
And you have?
A microphone.
So yeah, you have the technology.
We sure do. We sure do. We just don't have the time.
That was so rude.
That was
I'm
rude.
Laying it.
I'm
so
laying
rude.
It on. It was
so
rude,
thick, dude.
It was rude. A.
Yeah.
And B. Nonsensical, because we have programming to do. I have a we have a job to do here.
Yeah.
So you know,
yeah.
Like
talk about movies. Are
no, no.
Well,
talk
I mean,
about
you're
weapons.
Right. You're right. Those
talk
aren't
about
movies,
weapons.
So
we will have the chance later in was it next month maybe or maybe the month after to talk about Get Out. And then we can,
but it has to be paused. I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Honestly, what should happen, and maybe this should happen, is we should do like a 1v1 with Ryan refereeing, Elijah v Mike Get Out live. And bill it like that would
have
be
you yes. seen Get Out?
Yes, I have seen Get Out.
I feel like we should get someone who hasn't seen Get Out.
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Why would it not make any sense?
I feel like I'd be able to keep you more on track since I have seen it.
Yeah.
In what?
Just like, you know what?
See, like, damn it, what? It's working. It's working. Back to
hold on.
No, back
hold on.
To,
hold on. Hold on.
I'm going to turn off your mics if we don't get back to weapons, okay?
We've talked about weapons for 49 minutes, dude.
Yeah, I know. But that's what the episode is about.
It is.
That is exactly what the episode is about. I'm trying to keep us on track.
Hold on. Hold on. All I'm saying, don't view me.
Now we're brainstorming on. See, we definitely fit the trifecta now.
What? You get a boxing match, you get a referee who doesn't know boxing?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense.
See, now you know how I feel when I'm talking about Get Out. It's like, he makes no sense sometimes. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So, weapons. Yeah. We're back on weapons because we just have a couple. I wanted to get a few final things in just to sum up everything, okay? I will turn on your mics in a second.
Dude.
So, I want you guys to just give me, because I do actually want to get to the TIFF talk. So, just final summations. We've already suggested to people that they go see this movie. It's got a great premise. It's got some good intrigue. How would you sum up your overall thoughts, point blank?
I had a blast. I had some issues with the script, though.
Thank you.
Not going to make my top 10. Had a fun time in the theater. Really enjoyed watching it. And I think, definitely people should go and see it, especially if they're somewhat interested in genre. If the premise like gets them or whatever. Much funnier than I anticipated, which was a surprise. And it's a perfectly fine movie.
Okay. Yeah.
2.5. Yeah, we did 2.5 on Letterboxd. You did 3.5,
yep.
And you did 3.
I did 3 and a like.
3 and
I
a
did,
like.
I did.
Well, I always
like
give
it
a like unless it's like insane.
Ah,
right. Yeah, I usually give everything a heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just based on the rating systems, I think this is a great 6.5 star movie for me.
Yeah.
But they don't let you do 6.5 stars.
Yeah.
On mm-hmm. Letterboxd, so mm-hmm. that's my way of saying that.
Gotcha.
Very mixed on this movie, but I think the highs are very high. It has some really great scenes. It mm-hmm. just has some pacing issues, and some structural issues. That's mm-hmm. all I'm saying. TIFF talk. Let's take our final 8 minutes.
What's going on at TIFF?
Well,
let us know, Mike.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought it was interesting because it dropped today, the schedule. And it's always a very exciting time because there's so many movies that – and they did release a lot of the stuff on – online and stuff like that. But this is the actual, you can see.
They had a like – they were dropping them as – like the bigger
kind of,
names
the
anyways.
Bigger
they
names,
were dropping
yeah.
them as they were going on.
I mean, there's some really interesting notes, I think, especially on the first. I haven't looked through the entire schedule. However, one thing I always go right to is the first or opening night Midnight Madness screen.
Mm. Right.
The first time I've been to TIFF a bunch of different times as like for different reasons or like in terms of like, oh, like I'm just going to go check out that one movie or. That one screening or that one thing. This will be my third year actually going for the whole time. So that kind of changes your whole view as to like what you're going to see, how you're going to see it. But the first time I went a couple years ago, I got to see Harmony Korine in person. Okay. Mm. In person with his new film. I'm doing the quotes. Aggro Drift. Last year, of course, it was my favorite movie of the year. The Substance.
Right.
This year, it is Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does in the sense that it's Canadian.
It is Canadian. It's a hit TV show, at least in Canada.
Right. All of those things are true. TIFF loves Matt Johnson.
That is correct.
Little disappointed with that. From a genre standpoint.
Well, I mean, going from like your favorite genre standpoint, and going from like one of your favorite movies of the past 25 years,
right.
to this is Yeah.
And I'm not even saying like I'm not hating on Matt Johnson. I'm not hating on this being there at all. Okay,
but the tonal shift.
But like,
yeah,
that's a pretty like. I mean, that's with Demi Moore, Qualley, like filmmakers there. You know, the whole nine yards.
Hey, maybe Matt Johnson will be there.
Well, of course he's going to be there. But I'm just saying that.
that's not what I'm looking for. From,
he's gonna be there.
I mean, where else is he
going to be there?
Where else is he going to go? But that's just not personally not what I want.
Right.
I mean, again, I'll tie this back into weapons. It like Midnight Madness to me is for the outliers and the genre stuff, and that could mean a lot of different things. I just don't know if this is what I'm looking for. So that's the first thing that I do. But I will point out a couple other really interesting things. I think Del Toro's Frankenstein.
Oh, nice.
That is correct. Yes.
Which is very exciting. Park Chan-wook's.
I was just about to say that one.
Which I think.
No Other Choice?
No Other Choice is going to be there, which, I mean, that's probably the movie that I'm like the most excited to see.
That's got a great premise, too. Like the tagline or the log line that they have for that is just. Hooks me in immediately.
Yeah, and so that's something I'm really, really excited about. Again, probably the film that I'm most excited about. The Smashing Machine is going to be there.
Okay,
which is cool.
I'm very excited for that movie.
The next movie also that I it's kind of going to skirt under the radar. I think I don't know if it's going to be good, but I am, however, super intrigued about it. And it has a kind of a ridiculous title. It's If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You.
That's right. The Rose Byrne.
Rose Byrne. Now
Conan O'Brien.
And A$AP Rocky.
And that is the cast of this movie.
Isn't that crazy?
It's wild.
Rose Byrne, A$AP Rocky, Conan O'Brien.
And I actually like all three of those people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
On
great.
Screen.
Yeah.
Like, because A$AP has done some other stuff too, right?
He was in the movie Dope.
Dope.
And then he will be in Highest to Lowest in a couple weeks.
Which is Dope is Dope.
It is a dope movie.
And maybe a little underseen movie.
Would
so definitely go seek that movie out. So that's a wild cast. Check out the trailer. It looks wild. I would not. I was talking to our contact at VVS, who is putting out the movie in Canada, and we kind of both agreed like we could see this being Rose Byrne's kind of vehicle to the Oscars, or at least to the Golden Globes.
Mm-hmm.
If she has the right campaign, you know,
this could work for
this
her.
Could work, especially post. Everything Everywhere with Jamie Lee and The Substance with Demi Moore.
This movie was a huge hit at Sundance.
Huge hit at Sundance.
Yeah, including for Rose Byrne. This could work out really well in her favor.
It's starting to like the wheels already, and I know we're in August, but the wheels have started to turn for an Oscar campaign, especially if it has some really crazy stuff happen at TIFF, like some awesome reviews or people are like really excited about it. And when it comes out, you know, people are going to see it. You know, I don't know. It definitely could. You could see, you know, that the marketing campaign start to roll out if that happens. So
movie looks like so anxiety inducing.
Sentimental Value is there.
Of course. We mentioned this earlier.
So that's exciting. And the other film that I'm blank, the one that won the Palme d'Or, It Was Just an Accident, is also going to be there. So that's interesting. Has a pretty interesting backstory, and I don't know, there's a lot of interesting things there. So those are, I guess, some of the highlights of stuff that I was very briefly checking out today in terms of, you know, where place and time, as to where I can see it and how I can see it. Linklater's new movie about
Blue
the making
Moon?
Of well, Blue Moon's going to be there, and then
that's the Ethan Hawke movie, I think, right?
Yes, yeah. But that's going to be there, and then his film about the making of Godard's Breathless,
Nouvelle Vague.
Yes, Nouvelle Vague is also going to be there. I'm pretty excited about that movie, to be honest. I'm not like.
Love that it's a Netflix movie too.
Interestingly enough, I found out it's not a Netflix movie here in Canada in terms of who's putting it out into theaters.
Oh,
so that's kind of interesting. I wonder if that's going to affect the streaming rollout or if it's just going to all go out on Netflix. I don't know.
Yeah.
But a different company is actually putting it out theatrically in Canada. So that's kind of interesting.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah. It's
a good looking lineup so far.
It is. And that, like I said, the Godard thing, I'm not like the biggest Godard. Like there's a few people that I know that may be listening to the show that are like, you know, diehard Godard fans. So I know that there's going to be a lot of things in that movie that need to be correct in order for things. And I'm that way with things too, with certain other things. But for me, it just looked like a really interesting film. I love a film about a film or making films and stuff like that. And it really feels like Linklater like got the tone right. But it'll be an interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that movie. But
and just the lineup in general. I know that we'll have our annual review of the movies that you see in September.
Yes.
When you get back, we will have the episode dedicated to dedicated to talking about the experience there, talking about the lineup there. Get your full thoughts on
I'll
it.
I'll try
and
call in on the
that
Tuesday.
Would be great.
On the Tuesday.
Yep.
That Tuesday is crazy.
I've
already looked at that Tuesday. So you just get some days that are just like absolutely stacked days
right,
with movies.
Yeah.
So, but I'll try to call in that day if I can. But yeah, that's a little bit about the some TIFF highlights, and I just thought I'd mention it because it did just drop today. So yeah, we actually got to see everything else. There's so many movies, 250 movies. We're not going to obviously go through them, but
this is where the Oscar season kind of starts to, like you said,
this
is where it picks up steam. This is where the campaigns really start to get some press and really start to get some momentum. So I mean we talk about it a lot here. So this is going to prove to be a lot of programming for us, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of this.
Out
of TIFF.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in, for watching.
Thanks, Dalton.
Thanks, Dalton. Thank you, Dilton Paik, for just clicking whatever you need to click to get on Twitch.com or Twitch.tv. I'm glad this worked out. I'm glad we got this. It's pretty cool.
It's not bad.
I'm going to play around with it, so maybe I can find out some newer stuff later next time. But you know what? For the meantime, thank you for tuning in to Outside the Frame, London's only movie talk show. My name is Elijah.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Mike.
And we will see you all next week. Take care of yourselves until then.